just, it's kind of old news. You've heard it before. And my fear is that maybe you've begun to see this as just some sort of theological recipe. Like, this is how it happens. This is what Jesus did for our lives. And this is how I am now justified and made righteous. But you know what? It doesn't really have much impact on my life. Like, it's great. Makes me feel better. I like it. I feel like I have assurance of salvation. But that's about as far as it goes. Maybe you're just thinking, I don't know how this really changes my life. And maybe you're looking at what Paul wrote and all those verses, 8, 9, 10 verses, he says, explaining this whole thing. And you think, well, why didn't Paul just say, hey, it's, you know, ignore those guys. They don't know what they're talking about. You can't be saved by works. It's only by faith. And just move on with it. Why does Paul spend so much time explaining this over and over and over? Not just here in Philippians, but in all of his writings about righteousness being received and not earned. I think that Paul understands that if we fail to understand, if we fail to realize that our righteousness is received, then we will suddenly also fail to realize that obeying Jesus is a gift. Obeying Jesus, doing these works, doing these good deeds, is no longer about checking things off on the list. It's actually done in a response to being justified by Christ. And so it's a total shift. You know, we don't go and we don't do things in order to feel better about ourselves. We do things because we are now worshiping Jesus who did it all for us. It's a total mind switch. And so when we think about obedience to God, when we think about worship, when we think about church attendance, when we think about serving others, this suddenly doesn't have this weight of being a task. It's not an obligation. It's not a checkoff list. It's not anything else except an expression of gratitude and joy for what Christ has done. Paul didn't want these Philippians to miss out on this incredible experience of living a life and expressing this out of joy and not out of obligation. And this is really incredible as you look at this final verse that we'll look at, which is verse 10. Verse 10, after Paul's gone through all this, I think this is really the linchpin for what it means to obey with joyfulness and celebration. He says, I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. Okay, sounds pretty good, right? Knowing Christ, this is my new thing. I've traded everything away. This is what I want. But then he says, I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one day or another I will experience the resurrection from the dead. Paul was so dedicated to following Jesus that he actually welcomed this suffering. He actually understood that everything he had going for him really was of no significance for him. And if he was really going to follow after Jesus, he would do anything, and it meant obeying Christ, and it meant following the same pattern that Jesus lived. And if that meant suffering, he said, I will do it. I will die. And he does it with conviction and joy. He does it with incredible heart. So friends, I think that understanding that our righteousness is received and not earned has incredible implications on our life. Paul isn't writing a theory here. He isn't just, you know, going off on some little ramble about how this works. He's writing his life story here. He's saying, I was justified. I was made perfect by the law and by my works. But you know what? That did nothing for me. And now I'm going to walk this new road and live in joy. And so as you begin to think about how this may impact your life, I just want you to do one thing. One thing this week. As you go about your business, commuting to work and changing your kids' diapers and answering the telephone and paying your bills, I want you to ask yourself one question. One question as you participate in these activities. I want you to ask, am I trying to earn my righteousness? Am I trying to earn my righteousness here in this moment? When you get a call from someone at the church and they ask you to volunteer for something, when you're paying your bills online and you're going to give a contribution to the church, or when you stop by the grocery store to pick up things and you decide to pick up a few more cans so you can give them to the Langley Food Bank, ask yourself, am I trying to earn my righteousness? Am I trying to earn my righteousness? You see, Paul lived a really, really good life. I think he might have lived a better life than me. I'm guessing he probably lived a better life than you. But good deeds won't earn you righteousness. They simply won't do it. They won't get you up above the yellow line. They won't give you the joy of experiencing this relationship with Jesus. And I'm convinced that if we choose to think that we can earn our righteousness, we'll not only deceive ourselves, but we will be destined to a life of joylessness. I really think that. I think we'll just go around our life with this theological concept of, yeah, Jesus paid it all, but you know what? I'm just going to keep on trucking and kind of do my best to make amends just in case. And all we're going to do is carry these burdens. All we're going to do is check off these lists, and suddenly we're just going to find out there's no joy in this. There's absolutely no joy in this. But if we digest this truth, if we swallow this truth that we are in desperate need of receiving God's righteousness, then every single activity that we do in our life can become an expression of joy and gratitude. The way that God has wired us up, the things that we delight in, everything that we like to do, all of a sudden this is in response. This is in grateful, grateful expression of the joy that we have for what he has done for us. Righteousness is received. It cannot be earned. I'm going to invite Kevin and his band to come up. They're going to lead us in a couple of songs of reflection. And as they do this, I'd like you to consider the words of Paul, this fact that righteousness is not something that we can just do on our own. It's not something that we can do out of our own works, but it's something that we actually receive from Christ. And so as they lead us in these songs, I'd encourage you to take whatever sort of response you'd like to do, whatever God's leading you to. If that means sitting down and journaling a little bit and looking at the info sheet, some of the questions that are there, and just writing down your thoughts and what God is speaking to you, then do that. If you'd like to sing in celebration over this incredible gift that God has given each and every one of us for those who receive, then feel free to celebrate in that way. I'm going to be in the back, and there's going to be a few other people there who are available to pray if you would like to receive prayer about whatever thing that God has been putting on your heart. And this first song that we're singing, it may be a song that's newer to some. Some of you may recognize it, but it really is the essence of this message. This message of saying that I'm trading everything I have. Everything I have going for me, all the things that people look at me and think, that person really has it together. Man, they are a good person. They must be good enough. It's about trading all of that and just saying, no, I rely on the strength and healing of Jesus Christ. So, Father, we pray, Lord, that you would continue to speak to us, that your Holy Spirit would minister to us, and that we would understand what it means to truly live a life that is a joyful expression of receiving your righteousness. God, may we celebrate with you today. May we give you our pure worship. And may this just be an incredible experience for you, Lord. May you look down on us with favor as you see your children communicating and expressing our thanks to you. Amen.